Today's shir is a Masech Techol on Daf Nun. We will begin on the last line of Daf Mem Tesamid Beis with the second word, Hai Chimtza. And the Gemara begins, Hai Chimtza v'Hai Bar Chimtza. Which of the fats on the Keva is the Chimtza fat, and which one is the Bar Chimtza? In order to understand our Gemara that we're about to learn, let us give a brief Hagdama. In yesterday's shir, at the top of Amid Beis here, we learned the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, even though in our Gemara it says Rabbi Shimon Oimer on the fourth line. However, in the Masoras Hashas, in Ois Beis, he says Tzorach Lomer Rabbi Shmuel. It's a machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And we found that this is the Iker, the main brisa that explains the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. What exactly was Nisrabe from the Pasuk Ve'es Kol HaChelev Asher Al HaKerah, from that extra Vav, what are we being marba? According to Rabbi Shmuel, we are being marba both the chelev that is on the inner intestine, the dakin, as we learned the first amma of the inner intestine, the resh mea, and also, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to be marba the chelev that's on the keva. Why? Because we only require two criteria for that chelev to be usser, and that is krum v'niklav. It has to have a membrane surrounding that fat, and that membrane can be peeled off the fat. Therefore, even the chelev that's on the keva, which doesn't have the third criteria which Rabbi Kiva requires, which is that it should also be toisiv, which means it's a drape, it's like a garment that doesn't stick to the flesh. Rabbi Shmuel says that's not necessary. So therefore, not only are the dakin included in the Isser Chelev, because that has all three criteria, but even the keva, which only has two criteria, it's also Chelev that is forbidden to be eaten, and also which is mechuyev to be brought on the mizbeach. It has the criterion of krum v'niklav. It is a membrane that encases the fat, and that membrane can be removed from the fat. However, Rabbi Kiva says, no, you must have three criteria, and that is krum v'niklav, but it also has to have the criteria of toisif. It has to drape, it has to not adhere to the flesh, and therefore the fat that's on the keva, which adheres to the keva, that would not be included according to the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. So it came out that Rabbi Kiva held that the chelev on the keva is mutter, and Rabbi Shmuel held both the chelev on the dakin and the chelev on the keva are prohibited. Actually, there are two chalavim on the keva, and our Gemara in today's shir will discover which one of these two chalavim is there the machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. That's one thing we're going to discover in the next few lines. The other thing we're going to discover is what we ended off in yesterday's shir, a statement given by Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman had said that there are two fats on the keva. One is called chimtza, one is called bar chimtza. And the one that is sosim, the one that is a kosher, a tohar fat, and it plugs any nekev and doesn't allow the animal to become a trefa, that is the bar chimtza, the sun. As we learned in yesterday's shir at the end, yafa koicha bemi koichav. Here the son is stronger than the father. The father is the chimtza. His is a non-kosher chelev, and a non-kosher chelev does not soisim, it does not plug up the nekev, and therefore the animal is trefa. And now our Gemara wants to discover which is chimtza and which is bar chimtza. Which is the one that is soisim, the bar chimtza, which is the one that's not soisim, the tref chelev, the tameh chelev, which is not soisim and is not kosher. Which one is referred to chimtza? Which one is bar chimtza? And that's what we're going to answer right now. Toshima, come in here. The Amar Rav Nachman. We're going to find the answer from something Rav Nachman himself said. And what was Rav Nachman referring to? He was referring again to the two chalavim that are found on the keva. Now, if you look at a picture of the keva, which you can find in the Sefer Tmunei Chol on page 70, in picture number 3.58G, there he shows at the bottom of the picture how the keva, that fourth stomach of the cow, for example, is curved. It looks like a bow. And there are two fats. There is a fat that is across the arc of the bow of the keva, and then there is a fat which is on top, where there's a straight line which corresponds to the bowstring. We have a pasuk in Tehillim Perek Aleph, pasuk base, Kainanu Chitzam al Yeser. They set up their arrows on the bowstring. A bowstring in Lashon Kodesh is called Yeser. In Aramaic, the Yeser turns to Yisra. And in when we're referring to the Chelev of the bowstring, it's called Chelev de Yisra. Of this Yeser, the string, the line that goes on top of the keva, the straight line on top. And that is the known as the lesser curvature fat. Then we also have the fat of the greater curvature. That is the chelev that goes around the keshes, the bow, the round bow. In Lashon Kodesh, the bow is called keshes. In Aramaic, it's called kashta. And the chelev, this fat of the greater curvature, is called chelev de akashta. And our Gemara is going to discuss these two chalavim, the chelev de isra, of the bow string, and the chelev de akashta, of the bow. And now, there was a machloikus between the B'nai Eretz Yisrael and the B'nai Bavel. The B'nai Eretz Yisrael would eat one of these fats which the B'nai Bavel were machmer not to eat. Rav Nachman is going to tell us that even though there was a machlokas, and for some reason the B'nai Bavel were more machmer, and they would refuse to eat this chelev of the keva, however, they certainly agreed that the metzias of this chelev is that it's able to plug up a leak. It's able to plug up a nekev. There was no machloikas. Even though they were going to be machmer on this chelev not to eat it, but they would not be machmer to such an extent to say that reality is not reality. The reality is that this chelev was able to plug up the nekev and would not render the animal treifa. That's the statement that Rav Nachman is going to make now. And from this statement, we're going to find out the two questions that we are trying to resolve. In which one of the chalavim on the keva is there the machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that we learned about in yesterday's shir? And the second question that we're going to answer is what we just started with, high chimtza, v'high bar chimtza. Which is chimtza that is the treif fat that's not soysem, and which is the bar chimtza, the kosher fat that is soysem? And we're going to get all the answers when we analyze the words of Rav Nachman himself. It was Rav Nachman, after all, who told us the distinction between chimtza and bar chimtza. He is going to shed light now on which of the fats of the keva are the chimtza and which is the bar chimtza. Tashma Adam Rav Nachman, Inu, they, the B'nai Eretz Yisrael, Mechel Achli, they are eating this fat, as we turn to Daf Nun Amud Aleph, Uliridan, and according to us in Bavel, Mistim Namiloi Sasim, are we going to be machmer that far, even though we don't eat it? Are we also going to say that it Bimitsius, when it does adhere well to the nekev, that it doesn't plug up the nekev, and it doesn't render the animal kosher? Are we going to say the animal is treif? So now the Gemara is going to analyze which of these fats is there the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. In other words, the B'nai Eretz Yisrael would be makel like Rabbi Akiva, who was makel on the chelev of the keva, and the B'nai Bavel were machmer like Rabbi Shmuel, who was machmer on the chelev hakeva. So the Gemara says as follows. Dakashta, the one of the bow, kuliyamaloi pligid aser. Everybody holds that one is aser. And the reason is because even Rabbi Akiva would agree that this is usur, as Rashi explains, because Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that you need three criteria. You need that it should be krum, a membrane, viniklav, peeled off, and also taisif. So the akashta, the one of, as you can see in the picture there on page 70 in Tmune Chol 3.5 AG, the whole chalev that's covering it, the chalev that kashta, is like a drape. It's like a garment that doesn't stick. It sticks only in one place to the flesh, but otherwise it comes right off, and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, that will be the one that is usur. How, and that everybody holds usur. Rabbi Shmuel certainly holds its usur because Rabbi Shmuel says all you need are the first two criteria, which is krum v'niklav. And this is certainly krum v'niklav. But even if you, according to Rabbi Akiva, you need a third criterion, it is still usur because it has that third criterion. It's taisif. It's a drape. And therefore, it's usur. Ki pligi, where is there a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? The isra, the one of the bow string. Because over there, it adheres. There is no drape. It'll only be usur according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that all you need is two criteria, krum v'niklav. Yes, it is krum v'niklav. Then it's trey fat. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, he will argue. Rabbi Akiva will say that you need a drape also. You need toisiv. It's not toisiv. If it's not toisiv, then it's not a chalev that has to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, and likewise, it's not usur to eat. So now we've answered in this Lashon all the questions we have. We know now which is chimtza and which is bar chimtza. Chimtza is the tamei one that does not soisim, and bar chimtza is the kosher one that is soisim. So we have an answer. The answer is that the one that is not soisim, the chimtza, that's the akashta, where everybody is moited that it is usur. And the asura is the machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. It's the machloikas and menhagim between Bavel and Eretzrol. That's what Rabbi Nachman said, that even according to Bnei Bavel, who don't eat it, but they will agree that it is able to plug up the hole. We see that it can plug up the nekev. So that will be the one that is considered bar chimtza, which is soisim. So we've answered the question, what is the machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, which one of the chalom of the keva? The answer is the machlokes is in the isra. And we have also answered the question, which is chimtza and bar chimtza? We know the answer to that as well. Ikedi Yamri, there is a second way to understand the machlokes here between the Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the Isra, the one of the bowstring, Kuli Amalei Pligi Vishari, everybody holds its mutter. Why, says Rashi, because they hold like Rabbi Akiva, that you need three criteria, and the one of the Isra only has two criteria, it's Kurum V'niklav, it doesn't have Taisif, it's not a garment, it sticks to the flesh, you have to scrape it off, it doesn't just pull the whole thing off. You have to sit and scrape because it's stuck to the flesh. So therefore, everybody will hold, both the Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz will hold that it's mutter. Kipli, where's the machloikis? The akashta. The machloikis is, excuse me, that everybody will hold that it's mutter, both Bnei Bavel and Bnei Eretz Yisrael, because they all hold like Rabbi Akiva that all you need, that you need three criteria, and this only has two criteria, and therefore it's mutter. Ki pligi, where's their machlokes in the menhagim between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael? The akashta. By the akashta, why? Because Rashi explains that even though it's a drape, and most of it is not sticking to the flesh, but in one point, it does stick to the flesh. The question is that enough to make it not considered a taisiv, that it's not a drape, it's not a garment? Perhaps not. So the Bnei Bavel held, it is a garment, and therefore it meets the criteria, and therefore it is usur, even according to Rabbi Akiva. And the Bnei Eretz Yisrael held that it doesn't meet the criteria because it sticks to the flesh. It's not taisiv, even if it's only in one place. It's not considered taisiv, and therefore it is permitted chelev. Now Rashi points out that we have only received an answer to our question of chimtza and bar chimtza if we go like the first lashon, because if we go like the ikedi amri, then which chaylev is not soysim. The chaylev of the ayasra, of the bowstring that everybody holds is mutter even to eat, because it only has two criteria, and we need three, according to Rabbi Akiva. And it certainly plugs up the hole. Even the chelav d'akashta, that the bnei bovel are machmeran, but Rav Nachman, if Rav Nachman would be going on the ikka d'amri, then Rav Nachman would be saying that everybody agrees, even the bnei bovel, that it's soysim. So which chelav is not soysim? Which is the chimtza that's not soysim? Therefore, you have to say, says Rashi, that this proof of the Gemara to what's chimtza and bar chimtza is only according to the first lashon, and Rav Nachman held like the first lashon, and we, says Rashi, we have to hold like the first lashon, because when you have two lashonis and one lashon, one way to explain the machloikis is more machmer than the other when you're dealing with a din d'oraisa. You have to go l'chumra. So therefore, we have to go like the first lashon, that everybody holds that the akashta, which meets all three criteria, is usser. And where is the different menhagim in diasra? And there, even the bnei bavel will agree that it plugs it up. So now we have an answer to chimtza and bar chimtza. Chimtza is dakashta, where it's chelev tamei, it's usur, and it doesn't plug up. And the asra, even though the bnei bavel are machmer not to eat it, they will agree that it plugs it up. And therefore, that is the bar chimtza, which is soysim. And Rashi says that we who come from, we are descendants from the people who were in Bavel, and we went into exile, we went out of Bavel, and we built up communities in Europe, etc., and we're all descendants of the Bnei Bavel, we have to be machmer. It comes out that we are machmer like Bnei Bavel, not to eat either of the chalavim that are on the keva. Says the Gemara, Kiha d'omrav avya. We're now going, says Rashi, according to the first lashon, that the difference between b'nei bavim and b'nei Eretz Yisrael was in the chel of the isra of the bowstring. And now we're going to hear from Rav Avya, who was an amoira from Eretz Yisrael. He said in the name of Rav Ami Mekamtzen, that what we do is we eat, according to the minhag of Eretz Yisrael, the chelev of the isra, but we skim off some on the top, because since, as Rashi tells us, it touches on the chelev that is al hakerev, the lesser omentum, and that's the chelev that covers the beis hakoses and the hemsis, which is written in the Torah, the chelev al hakerev, and since it touches that, we skim something off and we eat the rest of the chelev of the asra. V'chein amar Rav Yana mishum zaken echad, he said in the name of one elder, that mekamtzen. Amar Rav Avya said, havakamino kamed Rav Ami, I was standing in front of Rav Ami, komtzu, they skimmed off some of the chelev that was touching the chelev on the kerev, v'hovel leva'ochla, and he ate the chelev of the asra. They gave it to him, and he ate it. So in other words, Rav Avya, who reported this before in the name of Rav Ami, is now telling us that there was an actual incident where what he had reported, he saw with his own eyes, was actually practiced by Rav Ami. The Gemara relates a story. Shamei de Rav Chanina, the Shamis, the attendant of Rav Chanina, Havikoi Kamei Rav Chanina, he was standing in front of Rav Chanina. Omar Lei, so Rav Chanina instructed him, Kmotz, skim off some chelev from the chelev of the asra, which he was eating. He was in Eretz Yisrael and he was eating it. Havli, give it to me, the echel, that I should eat it, the fat on the bowstring. Chazia, the havikah mechases. He saw, as Rashi says, the word mechases, megamgem. He was hesitant to do it. Amarlei, so he understood, bavloat. He said to him, you must be from Bavel, and that's why you're hesitating to give it to me. And as the Sefer Or HaYosher explains, for two reasons. Number one, since he's from Bavel, he has to be noeg, the minig Bavel, even though he's an Eretz Yisrael, and therefore to him it's something usher. And if it's usher, he cannot feed it to someone else if he considers it usher. And another problem here is that Rabbi Chanina, although he was noeg, the minig of Eretz Yisrael, but he couldn't eat it in front of someone who considered what he was eating to be usher. And that's why, what did Rav Chanina now instruct the Shamas to do? Gum shadi. Cut off that fat entirely. Don't just skim it off the top and throw it away. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, B'nei ma'ayin, the intestines, shenikvu, that had a nekiv in them, v'lecha soysamson, and there's a liquid that is plugging up that nekiv, covering the nekiv. It is ksheira. It sticks very well into the nekiv, and therefore the animal would not be a treifa. My lecha, which liquid are we speaking about? Omer of Kahana, shirka de ma'aya. This is a sticky mucus which is strongly stuck to the lining of the intestine, and the nafik agav duche comes out. It only comes out with great difficulty with pressure. The Gemara says, Gemiri, we learnt a mesora chavraya, the Rabbi Abba, Merabba Abba. The colleagues of Rabbi Abba learnt it from Rabbi Abba. And who's that referring to, that expression? Chavraya de Rabbi Abba, umanu Rab Zera. That's Rab Zera. V'amrula, some say, chavraya de Rab Zera, Rab Zera. That the colleagues of Rab Zera learnt it from Rab Zera. And who is referred to as the colleagues of Rab Zera? Umanu Rab Abba, it is Rab Abba. We will learn further with the words in the parentheses. Omer Rabbi Abba bereid Rab Chiya bar Abba. So Rab Abba said, Rab Abba the son of Rab Chiya bar Abba said, Hachi, and this was the tradition that was handed down, Hachi Omer Rab Chiya bar Abba, this is what Rab Chiya bar Abba said, Omer Rab Yoch, the name of Rab Yoch, halacha k'Rab Shimon Gamliel. So the halacha is like Rab Shimon Gamliel, betreifa, v'halacha k'Rab Shimon, ba'ovel, the halacha is like Rab Shimon in Ovel. So Rashi says that the Rab Abba Berei de Rab Chiya is not the same as the Rab Abba that we learned before, who's the Chavraya of Rab Zera. He was saying over this Mesorah in the name of Rab Abba, who was an earlier Amoira. The Rab Abba Berei de Rab Chiya Bar Abba was an earlier Amoira. And after this entire chain of Mesorah of who said it, it comes out that they said halacha k'Rab Shimon Gamliel b'treifa, and halacha like Rab Shimon ba'avel. The Gemara wants to know what is referring to halacha k'Rab Shimon Gamliel b'treifa haramor, and that which we just said, that the lecha, that sticky mucus which is stuck to the inner lining of the intestine, that is soisa. K'Rab Shimon ba'avel ma'i. What is the halacha that Rab Shimon said by avel that we pass like Rab Shimon? This snan it says that in the Masoreh Shas, and Oisei tells us it should be the tanya we learned in the brisa. Kol shloisha yomer rishonim. All the first 3 days when people are sitting Shiva, if someone did not hear about it and he was living in a makom karev, bami makom karev, he was living within a 1 day distance from the house of the Avelim, where he could have heard it, but he didn't hear it, and he came within the first 3 days that they were sitting Shiva, moini moin. He doesn't have to start a new Shiva himself. He can count with the people who are sitting Shiva there, and the 3 days, let's say he came on the third day, so those days would already be counted in his cheshbon, in his accounting of 7 days. But if he came in Machim Rachoik, he came from a distant place, more than a day's travel, that it would not be possible for him to have found out about it within 1 day's notice. So then, Moin La'atzmoy, then whenever he comes, he has to begin a new shiva from the moment that he sits down to sit shiva. Mikan ve'elech, after the first 3 days, afilu bami makom karev, even if he comes from a 1 day distance where he could have heard it, but he didn't, Moin La'atzmoy, he has to count for himself. In other words, there are two criteria, and that is, he has to have been in a makom karev within 1 day's notice. He could have found out he didn't till later. That's enough to connect him. If he comes, the second criterion, which is within the 3 days when the Avelim started sitting Shiva. If any of these conditions are missing, then he has to count his own Shiva. However, Rav Shimon on this disagrees. Rav Shimon Oimer, afilu b'yom ha'shvi, even if he comes on the seventh day, b'mi makom karev, if he comes from a place within 1 day's notice, moina imoin, he counts with the people who are sitting Shiva. He doesn't have to start anew from his own Shiva. The halacha is like Rav Shimon in this halacha, that even if he comes on the seventh day, he can join them. Omar, Mandahu, a certain person, and the Gemara doesn't know who, the Gemara doesn't remember who this person was. The Masadra Gemara don't remember, but somebody made a statement at that time. Iski, I wish that I would have merit. I would be Zocha, the Asik, and I would go up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, the Agamer Lishmaitza, and I would learn this halacha, whether the halacha in fact is like Reb Shimon in this din of Avol, mipume demor, from the mouth of the one who had said this halacha, the Baal HaMemra, which is Rab Abba Berei, the Rab Chiya Bar Abba, Ki Solik. One day he merited, and he went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkele Rab Abba Berei, Rab Chiya Bar Abba. He found him. Amarle, he said to him, Amar Mar Halacha Rab Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa? Did you in fact say, did the master say that the halacha is like Rab Shimon Ben Gamliel by Treifa? That the liquid sticky mucus is so same? Amalei, ha'ein halacha amri, just the opposite. You got it wrong. I said that the halacha is not the Reb Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa, that it is not so same. And it is not kosher, and in fact, the animal will be treifa. Then he asked in Reb Shimon B'Avomai, what about concerning the halacha of Reb Shimon? Is the halacha like Reb Shimon in the din of Avelis that we learned with coming Memakam Karv within the first 3 days? Amalei, that's a plukta ninu. That's a machlag. It's the itmar we learned. Rav Chizda Amar Alocha. Rav Chizda says that Alocha is like Rav Shimon. V'chein Amar Rav Yoichan Alocha. Rav Yoichan agreed that Alocha is like Rav Shimon. Rav Nachman Amar Ein Alocha. Rav Nachman said it's not the Alocha like Rav Shimon. And then the Mesadria Gemora are Messiahim, and they say the bottom line is V'ein Halocha K'Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa. The Alocha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel B'Treifa. The halacha corruption ba'avol, but concerning the halacha of Avelis, that he doesn't have to start his own shiva if he comes within 3 days and he was a makam karev, there the halacha is like Rav Shimon. Why? We have a rule, the Amar Shmuel, halacha de Ramekel ba'avol, that whenever you have a question in Hilchas Avelis, a question at the time of the Gemara, so the Gemara would always go like the kuladik, like the lenient position when it comes to a question in Hilchas Avelis. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya Makifim Bnei Ma'ayim. Concerning the intestines, if there's a nekev in the intestines, and we don't know if that nekev was made before the shechita, which the animal would be treif, or after the shechita, and it would be kosher, we can compare it by making a new hole in the Bnei Ma'ayim, and if the other hole looks like the new one, then we know it happened after shechita. If it does not look like the new one, then we know it happened before shechita, and the animal would be treif. The Gemara now relates a story. Hanu Bnei Ma'ayim Da'as L'Kami D'Ravad. They brought intestines with a neck of it in front of Rava. Akefinu, he made another hole in the Bnei Ma'ayim v'lo yidmu, and they didn't look alike. So he was going to say that the animal should be treif. Also, Rav Mesharsha Bray, his son of Rava, Rav Mesharsha, came, and what did he do? Mimash Mishbahu, he started rubbing the new hole, and after a while of rubbing, v'idmu, then it was comparable, the new hole, to the hole of the original Shiloh, and we see that both holes happened after the shechita. And he made the animal, in other words, not treif. It was now able to be eaten. Amar lei, so Rav said to his son, Minolacha, how did you know this smart thing to do it? Amar lei, so his son Rav Mesharsha answered, I figured it out on my own. Because I said to myself, Kama yodei memashmashu bahani mekami delesa lekami demar. How many hands were memashmash were touching in these intestines before they came with a shiloh to the master? A lot of hands were touching it. So I figured if I will also rub it enough times, it'll look the same as the original hole, and in fact, they both came after Shechita. Amalei, when Rava heard the smartness of his son, he said, Chakim Bri Betreifas, my son, is smart in Hilchas Treifas, ki Rabbi Yochanan. And Rashi has two pshatim, either like Rabbi Yochanan B'chol HaTarakula, or like Rabbi Yochanan, who had a specialty in Treifas, as Rashi brings the Gemara further in Perek, Gidon Nashon Daf Tzadik Hamid Beis, that Shmuel sent 13 camel loads of Treifas, that there was a suffix whether it's treif or not. Who did he send it to? To Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan was an expert in treifas. And in fact, Rashi earlier on Daf Chof Chesam at Beis Also there had these two pshatim, and there it was concerning another son of Rava, and this was Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef there in that Gemara said also a very good chiddush in Hilchos Treifos, and on that Rava commented to him as well that my son is like Rabbi Yochanan, and Rashi again says the two pshatim either like Rabbi Yochanan b'chol atar kula or like Rabbi Yochanan who was a specialist in Hilchos Treifos. And now the Gemara says a halacha of Rabbi Yochanan himself. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar Darmi Tarvayu, they both said, makif and bereya, that we can compare one reya to another. Rashi explains that when we cannot be told it, we cannot assume that it came from something that was caused, a nekev that was caused by the butcher, then we have a way of comparing a hole in one lung to a hole in another lung, and to see, and the Gemara will say exactly what we're comparing in the lung, which part of the lung to which part, we'll see in a moment. But we can make comparisons in a lung from one part to the other, and we'll make a new hole. And if the two holes look the same, we know what happened after Shechita. If they don't look the same, then it happened before Shechita. Amar Rava, when can you make this comparison? Lo yamor ne'el ba'is aruga. You can only do it in that row. Av mi'aruga l'aruga loy. From one row to the other, you cannot do that. Now, what does this mean? We know that we can first to visualize it. There is a picture in the Sefer Tumnei Chol on page 63, number 3.46b's, and there, imagine if a person would be under an animal, so his right hand would be towards the left row of the lungs. His left hand would be toward the right row of the lungs. However, and that's how it appears on the picture. However, here we are speaking if the animal was hoisted up by the butcher on its hind legs, and then its windpipe is facing the ground, and the rows of lobes are inverted, and now the right hand of the person is toward the right a row of the lobes, and the left hand of the person is toward the left row of the lobes. So we have at the bottom of each row the large uma lobe, and then on top we have several smaller unois that look like ears lobes. And what the Gemara is saying now is that you can make a hole in one row, meaning from an uma to an una, in that either the right row or the left row. That's what the Gemara wants to say. Lo yamor ne'el ba'is aruga, only in that row. Avol me'aruga la'aruga lo, you can't go from the right to the left or from the left to the right. You can't make a comparison of a hilchsa. The Gemara summarizes that the halacha is afilo me'aruga la'aruga. You can even go from the right to the left or the left to the right. But it has to be midako ledako, umigas legasa, from the thin to the thin, or from the thicker to the larger to the larger. Avaloi migas ledako, loi midako legasa. You can't go from the larger to the thinner or the thinner to the larger. What exactly do we mean, dako and gasa? We have two pshatim in Rashi. The one pshat that Rashi says is from a behema daka, you can go to another behema daka, like you can go from a goat to a sheep or a sheep to a goat. But you cannot go from a goat to a gasa, which would be represented by a porah, by a big fat cow. That you cannot make comparisons in. You can make a comparison from one cow to another, one sheep to another. But you can't go from gasa to daka or daka to gasa. However, Rashi does not like this shot, because then it could come out that if two separate animals had comparable holes, we would be mater the animal. Rashi feels that would be being too lenient. And therefore, Rashi says the pshat that he likes is that gasa means the uma. You can go from the right uma to the left uma, or that's the gasa, or the daka, you can go from the right una to the left una, but you cannot go from the uma to the una. The Taisus, the bottom Taisus, the Ramaskal Midaka Ludaka, brings Rabbeinu Chananel, who disagrees with Rashi, and says that if we were saying like Rashi, that Daka and Gasa refers to the Uma and the Una, then it should have used not the words gasa and daka, it should have used the words katana and gedoyla. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Chananel, in fact, likes better Rashi's other pshat, that it means from a, you can go from one animal to the other as long as they're the same types of animals. Either they are thin animals like a sheep and a goat, or they are like a cow, a fatter, but you cannot go from a daka to a gasa or a gasa to a daka. Continues the Gemara, Abai Rava Dharma Tarvayu, Abai and Rava both said, Makifim Bekana, that you can also make comparisons in the trachea, the windpipe, the kana. Omar Rav Papa, and here we're speaking about Makifim Bekana, concerning either its severed rove of the circumference of the kana, or there is missing a Isser Italki that we've learned about in the Gemara before, a small Italian coin. The amount of kana is missing. So you can compare one to another to ascertain whether it happened before Shchita or after Shchita. Amra Papa, when you can you make this comparison? Lo yamorin ella ba'oista chulya. Only if it is in the same tabas, the same cartilage. We know that except for the tabas hagdola on top nearest to the throat, which is totally surrounded with cartilage, the rest of the rings of the windpipe have cartilage like a horseshoe shape, and it gets thinner as it nears the bottom of the kana, and at the bottom the two ends of the cartilage are connected with a line of ritsua of basar. So Rashi says that a chulya means three together, because if it was less than three, it was only one, then you wouldn't have a missing in one chulya the size of a iser, of that coin. So oisa chulya means in a row of three. So you're only able to check in that same row, aval michulya lechulya lo, but from one row of three to another row of three, you cannot make a comparison. The hilchos of halacha is that you can, afilu michulya lechulya, you can even do it from one set of three to another set of three. And you can also do it mi bar chulya le bar chulya. Avaloi mi chulya le bar chulya, avaloi mi bar chulya le chulya. You can do it from chulya to chulya and from bar chulya to bar chulya, but you cannot do it from chulya to bar chulya or from bar chulya to chulya. What is a chulya and what is a bar chulya? So Machlokes Rishonim will say two of the many pshatim, which is Rashi and Duran. Rashi Shita is that the chulya is the part of the cartilage which is thick until in the middle of that cartilage it begins to thin out until it stops completely and the ritsua shel basar begins. So where it's thick, that's the chulya. And where it starts thinning out, that is the bar chulya. According to the Ran, the entire cartilage, even the thin part, is called chulya. It's the ritsua of basar at the bottom that is called the bar chulya. And our Gemara is saying, according to either pshat of Rashi or the Ran, that you can only make the comparison in what is called chulya to chulya, or from bar chulya to bar chulya, but not from chulya to bar chulya, or vice versa. Continues the Gemara, Amaziri chalchulis, the rectum shenikvah that has a hole in it, kshera, it is kosher. Why hoyel v'yirchayim, the hips mamidos they saw, they contain it. The rectum, there is a part that goes out into the abdominal cavity, and it's not encased. And as we'll see, that is treif even in a mashu of a hole. However, the part that's going towards the back of the animal, which is encased on the sides by the hip bones, and on the top by the spinal column, and on the bottom by cartilage, so even if there is a nekev, there's no fecal matter which will leak out, which would, if it would leak out, kill the animal. However, that part that's going out into the abdominal cavity, which is not encased, there, if the fecal matter could leak out through that nekev, since it's not encased, it's not mamidois through the hip, and therefore even a mashu would make it treif. For a picture of this, one can see it in Sefer Tumnei Chayil, page 73, picture number 3.64, and also the artist's rendition there. The kamo, what is the shear to make treif a rectum? Amar Rabbi Loi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, makam adevik berubai. In the area where it is encased, so then the halacha is that as Rashi, we have the Girsa here in Rashi that says that even if most of it is severed, it will still be kosher. However, the Mesaras HaShas in Ois Lamed brings down from the Marshal Adruboy, up till Roiv, if it would be Roiv severed, even in the place where the hips are containing it, according to the Girsa of the Marshal in Rashi, two lines from the bottom of the Rashi on the Amid. So according to the Marshal, if it's more than Roiv, it's Treif. However, the way we have the Girsa in the Rashi, Biruboy, it would come out that even if Roiv of it is severed, since there are the hips and the encasement of the spinal column and the cartilage, even if Roiv, it would be kosher. However, the Marshal disagrees with that. Shaloi b'makom adavik, in the part that is extended out into the abdominal cavity, which is not encased at all, as we said before, the halacha is it'll be treif, even if there is a mashahu, a small nekev. So this was a psak that was given before in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. But Amru Rabban Kameid Rava, when the Rabbanan said this in front of Rava, they said it over. Instead of Rabbi Yochanan, they said it Mishmei Rab Nachman in the name of Rab Nachman. Omar, so Rava responded, Lav mi aminu lechu, didn't I tell you? Loi tislu bei, don't hang this, don't say that this was said by Rab Nachman, don't hang on him, as we turn to the Nun Amud Beis, buki sriki, empty pitchers. And as Rashi says, Dvorim she'einan, this is not true, he never said such a thing. Hachiyam Rav Nachman, this in fact is what Rav Nachman said. Malkam Adavek, where it's contained, afilin nital kulei kosher, even if the entire rectum was taken away, it will be kosher, as long as a small amount remains, v'hushen shtarboy kidei tfisa, as long as you're able to grab it. And what does it mean? How wide does it have to be? How much of the rectum has to remain that it still would be kosher, even though the rest of it is exposed, and we say that nothing will leak into the animal and make it a treifa and kill it? V'kama, amar Abai, kamole bidita. Rashi says means an etzba, a width of a finger, even betura, even in an ox, it'll be sufficient if you have left of the rectum the width of a finger. However, the Rif disagrees with this, and the Rif paskins that a shor requires bidetum means not one finger, like Rashi says, but rather four fingers, and all other animals are proportionate to four fingers to an ox, will be proportionate in a sheep or a goat. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah, Hakeras Hapnimi, and we'll say the Lashon of the Mishnah, Shenikva, that had a nekev in it, in the inner keras. Oy Shenikra Roivachitsoina, or if most of the outer keras was torn. And the Gemara wants to give the definitions of Keras Hapnimi and Keras Hachitsoina. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Heyed Nasan Barshila, Reish Tab. He was the head of the butchers of Tzipari, Lufnei Rebbe, in front of Rebbe, Mishum Rav Nassan, in the name of Rav Nassan, Ezu hi Keres HaPnimi, what is the Keres HaPnimi? Sanya Divi, this is the Sanya Divi. Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is, it refers to the Sikum, and this is the blind pouch, which is at the beginning of the large intestines, and it's considered a blind pouch because it only has one opening, and the food that the animal digests gathers there, becomes waste, it's processed, and the same way that the food went in, that's the way it goes out. And it, because of the waste that is there, although the wolves eat the B'nai Ma'ayin, they hate this section of the intestines, and they do not eat it. The second pshat in Rashi is that it's part of the keras of the pouch itself, and it's where the tabach make two holes to remove what is inside the stomach. And Rashi says that he likes better the pshat that the wolves hate not that part of the keras, but rather the wolves hate the part of the intestine, as we mentioned, the first pshat, the sikum. So that is considered the inner pouch, and that will be aser a nekev, even of a mashu. V'chein omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Korcha sanya dibi. Rabbi Shmuel omer is tumcha de karsa, the stomach of the keras. Rashi brings a French word for this, and then Rashi adds, v'eni yodei mahu, I don't know exactly what it is. The sheet that takes out the words in Ois Aleph of eni yodei, and we are left to know what exactly this is. Continues the Gemara with other explanations of the Keres HaPnimi and Chatzayna. Rab Asi Omer Rab Yochanan, Mokum Tsar Yesh B'Keres, there is a small place in the Keres where it gets narrow. The Eini Yodeis, but I don't know exactly where this narrow part of the Keres is. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what are you? You're not helping us by saying that. It could be anywhere in the Keres. The whole Keres then could be treif. Nafal Kirsa Babir, you've thrown the Keres into a pit. We can't use the whole Keres because any part of it might have that narrow part. You haven't helped us. Omer Rav Acha Bar Rav Ava, Amar Ravasi, Nei Ravasi, I'll tell you where it is. Min Ameit Tzar Ulamata, there is a certain area of the Keres where it's towards the esophagus, the Veshet, and there it narrows. It's called the Pnimi because that point of the Keres is hidden by the walls of the breast. And we are referring, it says, Min Ameit Tzar Ulamata, so Rashi explains, because when the animal is turned on upside down because it's hanging by its hind legs, so that's the area lamata where it gets narrow and it is hidden, and that's why it's called the panimi. Rav Yaakov bar Nachmani or Mishmul, Malkam Shem bar Milus, a place in the Keres, in the lining of the Keres, where there are no woolly hairs which are bunched together, but it's smooth, that's the area which is the inner Keres. Rav Avina Amar Gnivi said in the name of Gnivi Mishmei the Rav, Tefach Beveshet Tzomot Keres. It is a Tefach in the esophagus that's near the Keres. Zui Keres HaPnimi. This is the Keres HaPnimi. Amri Bimarava, they said in the west, means Eretz Yisrael, which is west of Bavel, Mishmei the Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, in the name of Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, Kol HaKeres Kulei Zui Keres HaPnimi. The whole Keres is considered the Keres HaPnimi, and even a neck of Mashu will make it treif. Ve'ezu Keres HaChitzayin. And which is the Keres HaChitzayin? Boser HaChoyfes Roiva Keres. This is the flesh that covers most of the Keres. Rashi explains that this refers to the abdominal wall, which is really a muscle. Rashi considers it a membrane. And the breastbone and the ribs covers the front of the Keres, the pouch, and from there the abdominal wall covers the rest of the pouch, and it goes beyond the end of the Keres to the thighs. So now we are discussing here the specific section of the abdominal wall from the rib cage to the end of the pouch. Beyond that is not part of our discussion, and if their roiv of that membrane, which is covering most of the pouch. Why is it most? Because the front part of the pouch towards the throat of the animal is being covered by the rib cage. So it's only that part that's covered by the abdominal wall that begins at the rib cage until the end of the pouch. If roiv of that, which is the area where the membrane is covering roiv of the pouch, if roiv of that roiv is severed, then it will be a problem because that is the keres ha-chitzoin, which has the halacha of roiv. Rabba barafuna omar, mafrata. You know what the keres ha-pnimi is, where even a neck is prohibited? That's the mafrata. My mafrata. What is the mafrata? Amar Rav Avya, hecha de pare tifchi. This is where the butchers, when the animal is facing its bottom, its belly is facing the ground, and then when the butchers hoist it up and tear open that part of the belly to take out the intestines, the b'nei ma'ayim, when it's hanging and they slit it open, that whole entire area at the bottom of the animal, that is considered the inner pouch, which is usher with a nekef. Continues the Gemara, but Nardaw Avdei Kir Rabba Barfuna. In Nardaw, they acted according to Rabba Barfuna, who said that the inner pouch is the mafrata, and they ushered a nekev anywhere in that area. Amalei Rav Ashlam Emer, Kol Ani Shmai Tzumai. What about all the other shitas that we had on this amud concerning what the inner pouch is? Amarle, kulu shaychem to Rav Rafuna. Once you have the measurement of Rav Rafuna, einach nami, Rav Rafuna is giving a different definition of the inner pouch than they were, but once you have that definition, that includes all the areas that they were speaking about. Rashi makes a point that when we came to the shita of Kol HaKerem, this is the shita of in the West, of Imarava of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, that Kol HaKeres Kulei Zui Keres Apnimis, all the other shitas we had, there was a section of the Keres. It comes along the Marava, and they say, no, the Keres Apnimis refers to the whole Keres. So then the Gemara continues, Udu Rabbi Asi on Rabbi Yochanan and Mai. What about Rabbi Asi said in Rabbi Yochanan that there's a Mokum Tsar in the Keres, and he said, I don't know where it is. So how are you including that? On my leg, Far Pirsha Rav Achabar Avo, Rav Achabar Avo already explained that it's the Mokum Tsar that which goes from the Keres into the to the Tzad of the Veshet. So that's also included in the Mafrata that I said at the bottom of the animal. Asked the Gemara, Udu Rav Avinu, Udu B'nei Mar Rav Amai, but what are you going to do with Rav Avinu? Rav Avinu said that it is the Veshet HaSamach L'Keres. What you've described doesn't cover the Veshet at all. And what about the B'nei Mar Rav who say it's the whole Keres? And what you describe is not the whole Keres either. So how do you cover the B'nei Mar Rav? There you got me. This is against not like the Rav Avinu or the B'nai Mar Rav, but it does include all the other shitas. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Gedoyle. He's speaking about the Keres Chitzayna, which the Tana Kama said is Beroiv. So Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If it is a Gdola, then it's a Tefach that makes the Treif. And if it's a Ketana, a small one, then it's Beruba. Then if the majority of it is severed, then it is treif. Amar Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Loi Gedoyle Gedoyle Mamish. When the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Yudah said Gedoyle, wasn't referring to a large animal. V'loi Ketana Ketana Mamish. When it said a Ketana, it didn't mean necessarily a small animal, like a sheep. Ella, Kol Shenikra Botefach, V'loi Aviruba. If most of the Keres Chitzayna was torn, a tefach's worth, and that tefach is not a rove of the keres, because the keres, let's say, is two tefachim. So one tefach would not be the rove of the two tefachim. Zui sheshaninu b'gdayla tefach. That's what the Mishnah meant in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that that's considered a animal that's a gdayla, and the psul is tefach, which makes a treif. Ruba v'loyavi tefach. If rove of the keres is severed, and yet it is not a tefach which is severed, so that means it's considered a small animal. Zushaninu b'ktana beruba. That b'ktana rove is what makes a treif. So it comes out whatever comes first, either a tefach or a rove will make the keres hachitzayna treif. Ask the Gemara, Ruba v'lehavi tefach pshita. If rove is severed and it's not a tefach, it's pashut that it's treif, because we have a rule, as Rashi says, b'chol atar kula ruba kakuloi, of majority is considered as if the whole thing is severed. So of course it's treif. What's the chiddush? Light stricha must be dehavi tefach mashu. In another mashu, another drop, it would already be a tefach. So ma, the same I would have thought, either mikru ba tefach, v'lehavi treif. Maybe we should require that he should go to that extra mashu to get to a tefach. Kamashma, no, that we say the din of roiv, and you don't go that extra mashu to get to a tefach. Amr geniva amravasi, niktara kisela treifa. If there was a hole in the keresachitzon of a seloi talki, so it is treifa. Why? She'im timtach tamed al teftach. Because if you'll stretch it, you'll find out that you have severed it a tefach. and therefore it's treif. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, l'dedim mefarsh lemenei d'gniva, I heard in the name of Gniva, and where did I hear it? Amavr d'nardo, on the river crossing of Nardo, keselik sher, if it's only missing a sela, then it's still kosher. It's yeser may kesela treifa. It's only if it's more than a sela that it's treifa. Kama yeser may kesela. How much does it have to be more than a sela to make a treif? Amar Rav Yosef, keep going, the island plus kesheisa b'tzipa b'ducha. If three date pits will go into that hole with the, Rashi explains, the fruit that a person normally leaves over, he doesn't get on the date to eat every last bit of the date before he comes to the pit, so he leaves a little fruit on. If you have three date pits which have some fruit on them, and it is tight going in, or beloy tzipo, or you have three date pits which are eaten down to the core, down to the pit, there's no fruit hanging on it whatsoever, but rafla, that will go easily through that opening. In either of these cases, it renders the animal into a trefa.